You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. Since I'm the all-powerful announcer guy and have the power to do this, I'd like to share my thought of the day as we get into today's show. I got nothing. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And today it is Brett Johnson and Hunter Hawes as your Rapporteers hosting our program on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, temperature in the 50s. Really looking forward to tomorrow when I think I see the upper 60s. Maybe if we get lucky, we'll even hit 70 degrees. Unbelievable how quickly it has warmed up here in Minnesota. I'm looking forward to it. I biked here to work today.
I saw that.
I did. Yeah, I know. Are you going to try to get yours out here
at
some point?
I will soon, yeah. Especially after seeing you do it already.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the roads weren't too bad. I had driven them ahead of time to make sure they weren't super wet because there's nothing worse than biking on wet roads and getting splashed with water coming into work, you know, soaking wet.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily want to do that. But, yeah, I was able to get it out, and the road's relatively dry, as are the trails as well. Again, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. A lot to cover today. I'm only going to briefly talk about some national topics, and, well, of course, the big national topic, the so-called Mueller report. I'm not really calling it that because it's more Barr's take on the Mueller report than actually the report being released itself. We're just going to spend a few minutes on that and then get into some local issues as well as a big topic we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, which is this question of, are Democrats capitalists? Because I've noticed this has been asked of a lot of the 2020 contenders over the past few weeks. Are you a capitalist? And some candidates have had better responses than others. And I think it's a conversation we need to have because it's something that Donald Trump is certainly going to hit his opponent in 2020 in, is this whole socialist label, even if it's Bernie Sanders or not. Bernie, of course, explicitly calls himself a democratic socialist, but even if he's not the nominee, you're still going to hear this term thrown around by Republicans and Trump in 2020. So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But first up, want to talk about, well, very briefly, the Mueller report. And by the way, we will take your phone calls, too, if you do want to talk about this, 952-946-6205. What I find kind of funny, and Doug Padgett had a great point on this yesterday, Hunter, I'm not sure if you heard him say this, but we've heard a lot of people on the right say that the entire investigation was a hoax. It was made up. It was fake. And people should be facing jail time, or as we heard some of the Republicans say, Adam Schiff should resign, all sorts of consequences. And Doug kind of brought up this funny point. If this entire investigation really was a hoax and it was all made up and it was all fabricated, then why at the end would have the investigators have not made up charges against Donald Trump? Why would they have gone to all of that trouble for 2 years and at the end saying, yeah, I guess we're going to stop and not charge him with anything?
Very good point.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great thing he brought up. And the football analogy I brought up is that it's like if you have a team that drove down the entire length of the field and they got to the 1 yard line, we're just going to take a knee. That's essentially the equivalent. So I found that kind of funny. Yes, that people are thinking this investigation, especially those on the right, was a complete hoax. It was fake because, again, why wouldn't they have just made up charges if this was a complete hoax and completely made up? But, however, with this Mueller report, well, unfortunately, we're not going to know a whole lot until that full report is released and if it will even be released. And I think this is something that we need to look at in 2020, this issue right here, is because I don't think whoever the Democratic nominee is should be focusing on the Mueller report or Trump-Russia collusion or whatever you want to call it as their primary issue once we hit the campaign trail. I just don't think it really resonates with voters. I think it's something you should definitely keep as an issue, but not your main focal point of your campaign, because there's so many other things you can hit the Trump administration on when it comes to that campaign coming up next fall, which is the fall of 2020, I guess, technically. Not this fall, that's 2019, but when did presidential campaigns get so long? Now that I'm just going off on a topic on this.
And when media became 24 hours and they had to cover things.
That is just kind of nuts now that I'm thinking about it, that it's about 19 months or is it 20 months until we actually have the general election. We have to get through an entire fall before we actually get into the general election. Anyways, though, lots of other issues that you can hit the Trump administration on. And here's one that affects us locally here in Minnesota, because this was just brought up from a study by the University of Minnesota. And it has to do with farm income and farmers losing a lot of money over the past few years. So here's what this study says from the University of Minnesota. After adjusting for inflation, Minnesota farmers earned the lowest median farm income in the past 23 years of data tracked. That's the lowest median farm income in the past 23 years. In 2018, the reported median net income was $26,000, which was down 8% from the previous year, and farmers in the lowest 20% reported losing nearly $72,000. Now, keep in mind, of course, farmers and people that live in rural parts of the country, and especially in Minnesota or pretty much anywhere, overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump in 2016. Then you look at this issue right here. He put tariffs on China and other countries, and farm income way down. The report continues, as this is from, according to Dale Nordquist, who's the associate director of the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota. He says it's the longest string of low incomes for Minnesota farmers that they've seen since the farm crisis in the 1980s. Big rains, droughts, price fluctuations, and tariffs bring about very bad years. And it says Minnesota farmers have seen another year of depressed profits. Some in the agriculture industry wonder if this could be another farm crisis like the one we had in the 1980s, which was characterized by farmer suicides, bankruptcies, and farmers going out of business. This is something that I think we could really focus on in 2020 rather than, obviously, the Trump-Russia collusion story is very important. But this, I think, is something you could really hit Trump where it hurts and the Republicans, because you can draw a direct correlation between these tariffs and then finding farm income going way down for farmers around the country. How about some other issues you could probably hit him on in 2020 outside of the Trump-Russia collusion? How about, remember this one? I forgot about this until I was reading about it. The Niger crisis that happened, I think it was early in 2017, mm-hmm. where we had four U.S. soldiers killed in an attack by the Islamic State. Four soldiers were killed. And if you look, Donald Trump authorized this attack. And in fact, remember Omarosa from The Apprentice, who actually worked for the Trump administration? Trump is caught on tape actually kind of laughing about this attack. Here's the story from last fall. President Trump drew laughs from some of his aides as he joked about what a rough business terrorism is while discussing an ambush in Niger that left four U.S. soldiers dead last year, according to a covert recording from Omarosa. The president can be heard on tape telling his aides the U.S. and Nigerian troops got attacked by 50 real fighters. So he's calling these people who attacked these four soldiers 50 real fighters who he claimed were in Africa because the American military had chased them from the Middle East. If this was Obama who had presided over this, we would be seeing all sorts of investigations. In fact, this sounds very similar to the Benghazi attack of 2012, where we saw Republicans hit Democrats over and over and over for 4 years up until 2016. In fact, they even still talk about it occasionally. And the conversation certainly would have continued had Hillary Clinton won. So you have that you could certainly hit the Trump administration on. Or this one. And just from a pure political perspective, I don't understand what the GOP is doing here, because with the Mueller report, they essentially did get a political gift, because even though it was technically Attorney General William Barr saying that, well, according to his conclusions, that there was no collusion between Trump and Russia, it seems like a victory for the GOP. But now it seems like they're giving it right back because of this, and that's Obamacare. Democrats deflated, this is from The Hill, by the way, Democrats deflated by the anticlimactic end of the Robert Mueller Russia probe, desperately wanted to change the subject, and the Trump administration was only so happy to oblige. House and Senate Democrats today seized on the latest Justice Department's endorsement of a federal court ruling to eliminate Obamacare in its entirety, immediately renewing attacks on the GOP for trying to get the law's popular protections and rip health care coverage from more than 26 million Americans. That is just horrible timing if you're a political strategist on the right side of the aisle, because you have this conclusion from William Barr saying that Donald Trump did not collude with Russia. You think the ball is in your court? You've got something to hit Democrats over the head with over and over again. Then you come out with your Justice Department and you say, we want to repeal Obamacare in its entirety, something that absolutely hurt Republicans in the 2018 midterm elections, and all of a sudden they're going back to this Obamacare thing and wanting to repeal it completely. So those are three issues that I think we can really hit Republicans on in 2020. Again, the Trump-Russia collusion story, certainly very important, should continue our investigations and should try to get that full Mueller report released, but there are a lot of other things that you could hit Trump on, three of them to be exact that we just talked about, one being farmers' incomes being way, way down, in fact, the lowest in 23 years. How about that Niger attack? Again, I think that could be the Republicans' Benghazi. And of course, a new push to completely repeal Obamacare. Not partially repeal it, but completely repeal it, according to the Trump Justice Department wanting to endorse a policy or endorse a provision to completely eliminate Obamacare. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about capitalism, because speaking of 2020, it's something that a lot of Democrats are going to be asked. Are you a capitalist? In fact, some already have. We're going to play back some of those answers. Some of them have been good, some of them not so good, somewhere in between. We're going to talk about that because it's an important question. 952-946-6205. That's on the way next here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hi, Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Love it, Hunter. We needed some more political endorsements of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Well, not endorsements, just bumpers for the program.
Friend of the show, Raymond Dean.
Friend of the show, Ray Dean, who I believe, is he going to be on our legislative update in just a few minutes?
Yes, he will.
I'm going to quiz you. Do you know what he's talking about on this one?
I don't remember. Let's see. Tomorrow is the Prince mural, and one is...
I'm totally putting you on the spot, yeah.
It might be the opioid bill.
Which, of course, is very important, and actually you're wearing a shirt which is very fitting for the opioid bill. We don't have the producer camera, unfortunately,
no.
Which you got to remind me. I have that actually at my place right now. I've just forgotten to bring it in.
Yeah.
I've needed it for my own live streaming company, but now that the hockey season is over, I can bring that producer camera back. So anyways, you can't quite see what Hunter's shirt says, but why don't you go ahead and explain
it?
Yeah,
I've got a Hold Pharma Accountable shirt, and this is from the Steve Rumler Hope Network, and they're the main organization backing this opioid stewardship bill. But actually, if you tune into the local news tonight, I think and every channel, you'll be able to see me standing behind the press conference they did today about the insulin prices. I'm wearing this shirt, black and white shirt, and a bright green hat in it. So I'll be easy to spot. So if you don't know what I look like, now's your chance tonight.
It's not hard to pick you out in a crowd anyways with the very long hair and the... And the facial hair.
But that was what was so funny after the Blue State ball and everyone calling going, you're not what I thought you looked like.
I'm still trying to that could be something we could have maybe on a very light news day. What do you think Hunter, Doug, and Brett look like if you've never met us before?
Yeah.
Because on our show logo, we don't have pictures of ourselves, so you might not necessarily know. I suppose if you Facebook stalk us, you can probably figure it out. In fact, I think I tagged myself on the Facebook page today,
yeah.
So you can probably figure it out that way. But, that'd be kind of fun to hear what some of the listeners think we actually look like.
Mm-hmm.
If they're thinking maybe you're some clean-cut kind of looking Republican
guy.
That's
what someone said at the Blue State Ball. I'm like, what made you think that?
I wonder if I would have thought that as well. Yeah, if I'd heard your voice and not actually seen what you look like.
And it is a trick.
Yeah.
I remember when I started working here and hearing everyone's voice going, oh, that's the voice I'm familiar with.
You know what I originally thought? Now we're getting a little off topic here, but this is actually kind of funny. So years ago here on AM 950, and I thought you were this guy, we had a guy named Hunter from Bloomington who called, who would be this he'd have a very dry sense of humor. He would call in as kind of a mock Republican.
He was like a Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, exactly, like a Stephen Colbert character. And you kind of sounded like him, so I thought that was you originally. Yeah,
that was not me. I've had people ask me that I was not responsible.
Oh, so I'm not the only one who's actually thought that you were a Hunter from Bloomington.
Yeah, I've never lived in Bloomington, and I've never been a fake Republican.
Neither of those, no. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, by the way, if you want more detail on the Mueller report and what William Barr said, we are having a special program in the works for tomorrow, not going to announce anything quite yet. All I can say is that, of course, Doug Padgett will be back in studio hosting his usual day, but we could have a very special in-studio guest who could provide us with a lot of insight on what is missing from William Barr's report, which, of course, is a lot, obviously. But what could be inside that report, what it means, and what do the House of Representatives needs to do to try to get that full report released. So stay tuned tomorrow to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We're still trying to get things confirmed, but should have a special guest lined up with Doug Padgett that will be able to go into some great detail about the Mueller report and Attorney General Barr's interpretation of the Mueller report. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I want to talk about this definition of capitalism and why Democrats are being asked this question and their responses. But first, before we get to that, let's go ahead to David in San Francisco who wants to talk about Mueller. Hey there, David. What's on your mind?
Hey, well, appreciate it. I was a little suspicious of the whole appointment of William Barr, to take over for Jeff Sessions. And I can remember William Barr being the guy that let Oliver North off At the end of, in fact, the very last day of George Bush's, George Bush the dad, his presidency, he did all of his pardons. And one of them was Oliver North, Caspar Weinberger. I'm trying to think of who some of the others were. But there was a really evil guy that he also pardoned named William, or Ted Shackley. And Ted Shackley was... He was called the Blonde Ghost in Vietnam. He ran the Phoenix program, which meant that they were the guys that tortured and killed Vietnamese in order to just terrorize the nation. In fact, the movie Apocalypse Now is kind of based upon a guy like Ted Shackley. And so Bill Barr, William Barr, is the guy that released Ted Shackley back into the world. And so... when it comes time to getting some justice out of Donald Trump and his cronies, you know, you just got to look at William Barr and, you know, who he's kissing up to. So I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Ted Shackley, but that guy will put the hairs on the back of your neck standing up.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up. Yeah, and thanks so much for the call there, David. I was aware of the history of the Iran-Contra scandal and how he was trying to cover that up, and of course maybe that's a reason as well as Shackley, I should say, as to why President Trump decided to appoint William Barr as the Attorney General. Because if you look at the pairing initially between Trump and Barr, you have Trump, who well, of course is his own brand of a Tea Party type Republican, and Barr, who is more of an established type Republican if you look at his past. But maybe he looked at outside of the politics of his past and saw that he's a guy who usually is lighter on people who he agrees with philosophically, and maybe that's the case as to why he was able or why he wanted to appoint Barr as the Attorney General. So moving on now, I want to move on to this question about capitalism, because it's something I've seen a lot of the 2020 contenders for the Democratic nomination asked, are you a capitalist? And we've heard varying answers from all sorts of candidates. Here's a few of them. In recent days, Kamala Harris flatly declared that I am not a democratic socialist, while Beto O'Rourke, who said basically that meeting the nation's fundamental challenges will require harnessing the power of the market. So kind of a non-answer right there. Joe Biden said he was for, this is kind of an interesting term, moral capitalism. And Amy Klobuchar, talking about capitalism versus socialism, she dismissed Medicare for All as only a possibility in the future. I have some other clips I want to play for you as well, some audio from different candidates who were, or prospective candidates, I should say, asked, are you a capitalist? And this one is in the not-so-good answer category. This is from John Hickenlooper. I don't believe he's announced yet that he's running in 2020. He's the governor of Colorado, but probably will end up running. Let's go ahead and play his audio
right now.
Wait,
you call yourself a proud capitalist? Oh, I don't know. You know, again, the labels, I'm not sure any of them fit. Do you consider yourself a capitalist? Well, again, the labels, you know, I'm a small business person. Do you consider yourself a capitalist, and does capitalism work? Well, I think I don't look at myself with a label.
So there you go. A not-so-good example at how you answer that question is Governor Hickenlooper stumbling kind of all over himself trying to come up with an answer. Let's now play Tulsi Gabbard's answer. She is a congresswoman from Hawaii, and she did a little bit of a better job, but go ahead and take a listen.
So what about capitalism? Are you a capitalist?
See, here's the thing with all these labels and as you said, how they're used to define people and where they're coming from. But as you see, so many of these labels are misused, misunderstood to the point
how would you define
where people
yourself?
Don't have any idea what they even mean anymore.
So I kind of like her answer, and Hunter, you can share your thoughts on this too, because she is technically right that we do have these labels out here, democratic socialism versus communism or socialism itself or capitalism. We don't actually know what those terms mean in the political arena. I think she's making a good point. But people aren't going to take the time to study what exactly those terms are. They just use those as political insults. So I think we need to come up with a good answer to this question. Are you a socialist? Are you a capitalist? And I want to play another clip here. This is from Elizabeth Warren, and I think she actually gives, despite having a very rocky rollout to her campaign, a very good answer to, are you a capitalist?
I'm a capitalist. Come on. I believe in markets. What I don't believe in is theft. What I don't believe in is cheating. That's where the difference is.
So I like Senator Warren's answer to this question. She's not dancing around it like Governor Hickenlooper was, or Tulsi Gabbard kind of saying, well, I think we need to come up with better definitions. Or if you look at some of the other candidates, Kamala Harris saying, I'm not a democratic socialist flatly, or Beto O'Rourke kind of having, well, one of his classic answers of not really answering the question, or Amy Klobuchar also being kind of wishy-washy on it as well. I think we need to come up with a good response for this. Are you a capitalist? What would your response be, Hunter, if you were a candidate for the presidency, if you were asked, are you a capitalist?
The way to answer this is that there are flaws, inherent flaws in capitalism that are X, Y, and Z, whatever you believe, mm-hmm. and then how you're going to address those. That's how you take advantage of this question rather than giving something where everyone is frustrated by your answer.
Yeah, or not knowing what you're saying exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think what also needs to happen as well is that you should turn this around and play offense with this question as well and ask Republicans, well, are you a capitalist? How do you define capitalism? Or maybe you need to charge them with a term yourself. And again, this doesn't have to be a literal definition of socialism or capitalism or anarchism. This is just in the political arena. So what if you were to call Republicans socialists as well? Because, well, typically most people think socialist means big government. Obviously, that's not the literal term of what a socialist is. But you could turn it around and say, well, aren't Republican socialists who love big government? Because, well, look at what they do. They love these they love regulating on these social issues, whether it's gay marriage or bathroom bills or bringing Christianity into public schools. That's big government socialism. Or how about giving tax subsidies to corporations? Or with Trump's border wall, being in favor of eminent domain. That's also big government socialism. Again, not the literal term of socialism, but more in the political arena and using it as a political insult. I think it's something that you could actually use and turn around on Republicans. I was thinking of another term you could use for maybe trying to turn this question around. Are you a capitalist? Are you a socialist? That you could turn around to the other side. How about this? I've been playing around with this term. Let me know your thoughts on it, Hunter, as well. Economic anarchist for Republicans.
Economic anarchist.
Because they don't want any regulations. An anarchist, I mean, I have a friend
or
who actually
just anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah, I was actually just going to get to the definition of that term, but I think anarchist has more of a negative term or make it more of a negative feeling with the general public. Of course, I actually have a few friends of this show who actually consider themselves anarchists who are probably mad at me right now. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the literal definition of these terms, but more the political definition and how it's perceived by the public. I think if you were to tie something that has a very negative connotation like anarchism to being an economic anarchist and saying, well, aren't Republicans anarchists with their economic policy? I think that could also maybe get some traction as well. Love to hear your thoughts on this, 952-946-6205. Let's get one call in before we head to our legislative update. That's Randy in St. Cloud. Hey there, Randy. What's on your mind?
Hey. Well, I just think the whole are you a capitalist is kind of the new gotcha question they want to mm-hmm. use, because of the Bernie and AOC and Ilhan Omar's, Democratic Socialist, and agreed, Tulsi Gabbard is right, that nobody knows what any of it means, but they just like throwing that buzzword socialist out,
right,
and they can go right into communist for it. And what I always like to say is, oh, what kind of capitalism do you like? Do you like the kind where we privatize the gains and socialize the losses? Like the bank bailouts and the GM bailout when they were all folding and we bailed them out, but when they do well, they get to keep all the profits. That's the real crux of what's going on. And so that the socialism that they enjoy is we'll do the capitalism when we're profitable and socialism when we screw it up.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Randy. And I kind of agree with you right there, but I would still turn it around and not say, well, what kind of capitalist are you are? Because with the general American public right now, they hear the word capitalism, and it usually has positive thoughts in their mind. Now, of course, as Hunter and I have talked about, people who are younger and younger now have a negative kind of a definition of capitalism. But if you were to talk to the American public at large, they would probably have a positive feeling when it comes to the word capitalism. That's why I think instead of saying, what kind of capitalist are you, turn it around and say, well, aren't you a socialist for wanting big government, again, on social issues or giving tax subsidies or being in favor of eminent domain? What are your thoughts, Hunter?
Why? How come no one uses the term social democracy? How come that hasn't picked up any steam when that accurately describes most of the policies that these democratic socialist candidates want? I don't know why it hasn't picked up any steam, as it's the term used around the world, and it doesn't have as negative a connotations as socialism. I don't know why.
Yeah, it really doesn't have any traction in the country. And in fact, to be honest, I'm not even that familiar with the term as well. I mean, I've heard it before.
Social democracy is what all the Nordic countries are. And I mean, all the classic democratic socialist parties started as social democratic parties. But it's different than socialism. It's like a strong safety net and welfare state.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have some thoughts here on labels and what do you do if someone asks, are you a capitalist? Because they're not actually trying to look for your answer. They're using it more as a way to kind of trip you up and use it as an insult. 952-946-6205. Have a few phone calls we'll get to on the other side of the break. But first, it's time for our legislative update.
This is your daily legislative update with Representative Raymond Dean. Each day we'll check in with Representative Dean for a brief update on some of the big issues going on at the Minnesota Legislature. And you're the chief author of the Background Studies Bill, which is heading for a floor vote. Could you explain that bill?
Well, the Background Studies Bill looks at the disqualifications that the Department of Human Services does for individuals that have been convicted of crimes. They can't be employed in certain types of areas of work that require licensing. And one of the things that we know is for those individuals that are going through drug and alcohol or chemical dependency treatment, that the counselors are really, really critical. And the credibility of those counselors are really, really important. And we know that for many individuals that have become addicts or have abused, that how they interact with those counselors are critical. And currently, state statute doesn't allow an individual who has maybe gone through that process or in recovery and are leading a good life, that ultimately they can't be employed in the field. So what this bill would do would do away with some of the disqualifications and would make set-asides easier for individuals working within the recovery field.
We've been speaking with Representative Raymond Dean for our daily legislative update on AM 950. Tune in weekdays at 4 p.m. where we will be speaking with Raymond Dean all week.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the latest from the state capitol, including big steps taken to prevent distracted driving and combat the opioid crisis in Minnesota, and a new study says most of us are multi-screeners. We'll explain what that means, and much, much more. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Mo's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Mo's by visiting www.mostax.com. That's MOHS tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-7000. 2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 68. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 51. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 42.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Moundsview Community Center. Featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Moundsview Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
And the two dudes you're hearing today are Hunter and Brett here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Paul Metza, no matter what, can always make you sound cool, can't he?
I know. That's my favorite one to play.
Yeah, I love that one as well. 952-946-6205. And here on the Repartee talking about how do you answer that question, are you a capitalist? And I'm trying to say, well, how about we turn that around and ask Republicans, are you a capitalist? Are you a socialist? Because I think it's something, at least with the political definitions, you can turn around and use on them as a political attack. Let's go to Mark in Fridley. He has some thoughts on this question. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, guys, or cool cats.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the William Mitchell Law School tonight with the discussion of the International Criminal Court being blocked by the Axis of Evil, Pompeo and Bolton, investigating war crimes tonight. So. And I'm also interested in hearing, you know, what you're going to be talking about tomorrow, because I've got a bunch of information for you as well. But what we're dealing with here is the media. Why aren't we calling, or why isn't the media calling Republicans fascists? Because that's what they are. Why is the media ignoring the fact that corporate socialism costs two-thirds more than social welfare programs? So by corporate welfare, corporate socialism, I'm talking about, did Amazon pay any taxes last year? Did J.P. Morgan Bank pay any taxes last year? Did Purdue Pharma pay any taxes last year?
Mm-hmm.
No. But what we've got here with the media, and this is called a PSYOP, or psychological operation. It's influencing the attitudes, behaviors of a target audience. That's why they're asking those questions. You won't find anybody on CNN, ask anybody if they're a fascist. But you're going to find everybody going after Democrats or progressives as socialists, not democratic socialists. They know what they're doing. They're not stupid. They're manipulating you. And that's one of the reasons during the Church Commission in 1976, one of the findings was the damage to the credibility, independence of a free press caused by covert relations with U.S. journalists and media organizations, and they still control us. Robert Mueller was hired to be W. Bush's FBI director on September 4th, 2001. A week to the day later, September 11th happens. Barr's best friend is Robert Mueller, and you can also throw Jim Comey into that mix. So, you know, we could have a whole program on the history of Bill Barr, but go to the Internet, Barr, CIA. See what you find. Go to the Internet, look up Barr, Mueller. See what you find. And question, why aren't we talking about that? And then in closing, this is how psychological operations work. Okay, they just announced that they're getting rid of Obamacare. Okay, the reason they did that was because the Mueller investigation's over. We're not going to be distracted by that anymore. And immediately, we find out that Israel is attacking Gaza, and we go back now and reignite the war on health care. That's a psychological operation. That's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Mark. And, yeah, if they're – and, again, thanks for the call, Mark. Again, if they're not fascists, to steal a line from Matt McNeil, they certainly like to kind of cosplay as fascists. I know it's a term he's used often, and I like Mark's term as well. Corporate socialists.
Mm-hmm.
I like that term. I think that might be one I start using.
Could you just imagine, to your first question, if you asked a Republican debate are you a capitalist, how much they'd be trying to one-up each other. That would be great to watch. Like, I just thought of that. Cause, like, think of the 2016 debate. If you asked that, they'd all be trying to one-up each other and how hardcore a capitalist they are.
Yeah, you would probably find that. Yeah, are you a capitalist? Right. They could ask, are you a corporate socialist? That'd be a funny question to ask them as well. Hey, I want to switch gears now and talk about a local issue, and I know one. This is one, Hunter, you are, you've been following closely since you were at the state legislature, and in fact, this guy is your state senator, and it's Scott Jensen representing District 47, because he is right now the only Republican in the Minnesota State Senate that's actually supporting a bill that would help people pay for their insulin costs, because this bill that he's proposing is called the Alec Smith Emergency Insulin Bill. And like most healthcare bills, it was named for someone who was inspired by someone who unfortunately had an unnecessary death. Basically, the background is in 2017, Smith, who is 26 years old, I should say, he's from Minneapolis. He had diabetes and he was forced off his mother's health insurance shortly after his 26th birthday. So he died less than a month later because without insurance, the insulin had an out-of-pocket cost of, which is just insane, $1,300, which of course is more than most people his age can afford to spend on rent, let alone medicine. So the goal of this bill, and again, it's supported by this Republican State Senator Scott Jensen, is to set up an emergency fund for diabetic patients managed by the Minnesota Department of Human Services and funded by fees on insulin manufacturers. Once a year, patients could tap into this fund if they need help paying for life-saving medicine. The bill is pushing its way currently through the Minnesota House, but it's unfortunately not going anywhere in the Senate, even though it does have the report of this, or the support, I should say, of this state senator, Scott Jensen, which I think is great because he's a doctor. He's from the Chaska-Chanhassen area. He's not towing the party line, which is generally against this bill. And it goes back to something else, that elections matter. Because right now in the state Senate, the GOP holds a 35-32 majority. And if you were to go back, you probably remember that special Senate election that was held in February, where it was Jason Rarick defeating Stu Lowry, which was a GOP gain. That made the margin 35-32 instead of 34-33. Now, had Stu Lowry won the DFLer and kept the margin at 34-33 in favor of the Republicans, Jensen possibly flipping on this issue could have made it a 34-33 margin to possibly pass this bill. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen because Republicans do have a little bit of wiggle room on this. But at least glad to see Jensen is on the right side of this issue. Hunter, you've talked about this as well. He's also in favor of full marijuana legalization, not just medical marijuana. He's one of the few very reasonable Republicans we have left in the state Senate. And what I find interesting is that I think you've talked about he is going to be probably facing a primary in 2020. And I know the Carver County GOP is not happy with him at all.
Yeah, it's very – that would be a real possibility that they bring a further right candidate to primary Jensen because, the Carver County GOP is furious with him because he doesn't vote with the caucus, or he's not afraid to depart from it. He's been a strong advocate for reasonable gun laws.
That's right.
And that's made people furious down there. Like when he did his town hall, these people had these signs of him in with like Russian communist backgrounds because of him wanting some common sense gun legislation. But what he's asking for in this bill is such
this insulin
a
bill
small
we're going back to.
The insulin bill is such a small thing. That's ridiculous that other Republicans wouldn't sign on. And Jensen said that a lot of the Republican caucus is bought by the pharmaceutical industry just recently.
Hence why you have that thing written on your shirt. Again, what does it say?
Hold pharma accountable.
Exactly what they should be as well. As you said, it's a very reasonable tax, and it goes to giving people life-saving medication that they need. the amount of money, again, that this 26-year-old man, Alex Smith, had to pay for his insulin, where he unfortunately died, $1,300. That is just an insane amount of money. But I want to go back to Jensen right here, because he is a very reasonable Republican. And if I'm in the DFL, I'm not in the DFL right now. I'm not an official member of the party or anything. I would be trying to get him to flip and caucus with the Democrats, because you and I were talking about this off air. Even though he is more fiscally conservative on this on issues, here would be my selling point to him. So 2020, you're going to face a very tough primary challenge from a Republican. And as we've seen in past history with Minnesota Republican primaries, it's not unheard of for you to lose. All we got to do is look back to about 10 or 12 years ago when we had, I think, five Republican politicians in the state legislature who were actually primaried over their vote to raise the gas tax here in the state. So you're going to face a very competitive primary, and you may not even win. So if you lose that primary, you're done. But if Jensen were to flip over to the Democratic side, he wouldn't face a primary challenge, and he would likely be a heavy favorite in the general election, because not only would he get the votes of almost all the Democratic voters in that district, even though there's more Republicans than Democrats. I think you were estimating it's maybe a 60-40 or 55-45 split in the Senate district, just as kind of a ballpark estimate.
Mm-hmm.
You would get the Democratic support, and you would probably also get a lot of moderate Republicans. It would be an To me, it would be an easy sell to get him to flip over to the DFL side. Now, of course, would he be with you on all the fiscal issues? No, but at this point, until demographics change in that area, he's probably the best candidate you could get. Would you want to see him flip to the DFL?
Well, you know, as you were just saying that, what I thought is he'd face a primary for the DFL ticket, though, as well.
Well, he would face – I don't think it would be nearly as competitive a primary as it would be for the Republicans. If he were to flip, you would obviously have the party itself backing him, and I think you'd have a large majority of Democrats trying to back him as well. Of course, would there be a faction that wouldn't be happy saying, hey, we actually need a left-leaning candidate or a more left-leaning candidate? Yes, but I don't think it would be anywhere near the primary challenge he would face from the Republicans.
It's a good idea if he did get on the ballot as the DFL candidate, because he would have the incumbent factor. Mm-hmm. And he would win votes from the left, so he would win overwhelmingly on the ballot. But I think he faces a primary challenge on both parties.
You think he would? I don't disagree with you. I just think he would have a much easier time on the Democratic side. I don't think he would face nearly as tough a challenge as on the Republican side, because, again, the Republican establishment is going to be the one probably backing his primary challenger. Where if it is if he moves to the DFL side, obviously the party would back him probably, and he would be facing more of a grassroots mm-hmm. challenge. But again, we're very much speculating, completely unsubstantiated. This is just us talking right now, kind of locker room talk, like our old theme here on the show. We have no facts to back this up, as Herman Cain says. Just some fun speculation to do sometimes. 952-9466.
Locker room talk.
Yeah, there we go. I love that. Got to bring back little themes sometimes. Hey, before we go to break, let's get to Gary in Minneapolis. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I'm going to make a statement and see if it sounds familiar. Mussolini's definition of fascism: government and corporations united, combined, and constant war. Anyways, it's pretty scary what's going on here. And then we don't have these fair elections with all the tricks they use to steal elections. Minority keeps winning. And minority voters, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And other people stop from voting, gerrymandering. But anyways, when you have too much money at the top, it doesn't work. And that's how we ended up with Castro. That's how they ended up in China with Mao Zedong. And they have violent revolutions. Same in Nazi Germany. Hitler came in when the people were suffering. And, you know, my cousin in Sweden, they got one of the best governments in the world, some of the best governments over in Europe, especially Scandinavia. They have equality. They have more government. I wouldn't call it socialism. It's a mixed society, capitalism, water.
Hey, Gary, going to have to let you go there just because we're running really late and got to head into this commercial break. You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
The U.S. has been fighting for 17 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in Iraq, and 4 years in Syria. And now the Trump administration is threatening war in Venezuela. As NATO will be starting its 2019 summit in Washington, a coalition of organizations will hold a mobilization to oppose NATO, war, and racism. American wars, with support from NATO allies, continue around the world. A new nuclear arms race is threatening, and U.S. military intervention is developing in Venezuela. Say no to NATO, U.S. wars, nuclear weapons, and racism with an anti-war protest on Saturday, March 30th at Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue. Make your voice heard. Let's say no to wars, racism, and Islamophobia. Say no to the Muslim ban. And let's say yes to immigrants and funding for housing, education, and health care. Again, the anti-war protest is Saturday, March 30th at 1:30 at the corner of Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue, initiated by the Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. Let's make our voices heard and stand up against war.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, just a couple of quick stories here before we wrap things up. Maybe get into more detail about these next week. But I want to talk about rural broadband. You've heard me talk about this many times. And here's a specific example about how not having rural broadband is actually going to be costing several people their jobs, very likely. After more than 30 years of doing business in International Falls, Optum Health plans to close its healthcare claims office this summer. The good news is the company's 90 workers who are currently there can keep their jobs. But the bad news is, and this is the key, is that the offer is only good if they're able to work remotely. And those who live outside the International Falls city limits, and there are several employees who do, may not have access to high-speed internet service they would need to keep earning a company paycheck. So there you go. A specific example about how a lack of rural broadband could actually end up costing people their jobs because this Optum facility is closing. They're going to allow people to work remotely, but if they don't have access to high-speed internet, well, they're kind of out of luck. And one more thing I want to bring up with social media. This is a bill that's making its way through the, the State House right now, and it's something that would actually require all cell phones in Minnesota, if you use a social media app, to actually give a warning saying that social media use is addictive. Excessive use of mobile devices and social media platforms may lead to mental health disorders, reduced productivity, lack of sleep, and social affiliation. This is Senate file, I should say, 1159, and this warning would be on all devices in Minnesota that are sold. This warning would pop up. So interesting to see where this goes. It's actually led to Facebook having lobbyists in Minnesota at the legislature for the first time. So I'll have to look more into this bill. We don't have time to go into more detail, but found it kind of funny.
There's bigger problems.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to The Repartee. It's time now for The Departee.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.